With that done, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of grace, we thank you that we can be with you this morning, that we can open our hearts to you, that we can hear your message. Lord, help us to search deep within your scriptures and to find your truth in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So, we are in week three of a four-week series on Jonah. We've crested a wave, so to speak, and we're surfing down the home straight. No, not even smile. Okay, so quick recap. Jonah has been asked to go to Nineveh. And to quote Greg Laurie, one of my favourite preachers, Jonah, the God said go, Jonah said no, and God said, oh. God intervenes. Jonah was a man on the run. God intervenes. Jonah gets tossed into the sea. He goes down. Things are looking really bleak. Until God appoints a large fish to swallow him whole. No chewing. Jonah then sat defiant and brooding in a belly full of semi-digested seafood and acid. He sat there for 3 days and three nights before he turns his focus back to God and repents. We last saw Jonah vomited up onto a beach. If you like, he was penitent and cute. Sorry and straight. Repentant and ralphed. I know. I've gone too far, sorry. Okay, anyway, so in this series so far, we've found that when you run from God, the devil will always make sure that the path is easy and even attractive. That when you run from God or try to hide from God, you basically can't do it. When you're not walking with God in any part of your life, in one part or all of your life, when you're not walking with God, it's really obvious. It's obvious to you. It's obvious to people around you. And it's really obvious to God. So please keep your Bibles back open at Jonah chapter 3 as we work through this next part of Jonah. Running from God, the great city of Nineveh, and a repentant city. So, Jonah, as we said last week, is bleached on the beach. And then God speaks to him. Verse 2, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to proclaim the message that I have given you. Initially, we saw Jonah run from God. Then we saw Jonah run to God. And now in chapter 3, we're going to see Jonah running for God. For God. You see, we can run to God and stay there. Or we can run to God and then start running for God. You'll notice verse 1 and 2 that God simply recommissions Jonah. He doesn't give him a different assignment. God doesn't change his mind or even give Jonah a different or easier mission. He doesn't sort of go, oh, well, Jonah, I guess, you know, you didn't really want to do that, so how about you go over here and sell coffee and drinks? He doesn't do that because God is a God of second chances. Micah 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change, but he does give second chances. Notice here, though, that God makes no reference to Jonah's previous failures. There's no wisecracks about his sea legs or his time in purgatory. I know, it was late. And there is no place called purgatory. It's just a joke. Okay. But God doesn't make any wisecracks. He doesn't remind him of his failures. He doesn't remind Jonah of his interventions or his deliverance from certain death. God's words carry no rebuke, no warning against future failure even. There's no do it or else, which we may say to our own kids occasionally. Free will is very much still at play in this story. Jonah is free to say yes or no. God's call to Jonah simply assumes that he will go. Jonah's actually the only biblical prophet that we see get his calling a second time. He is actually the only one who needed it a second time, but he's the only one that gets it a second time. But at this point, we have to remember what Jonah has been through before he gets his second calling. He's been to hell and back, to the very gates of Sheol, we're told in chapter 2. He's reached out to God and he's experienced deliverance. You can't tell me that he's the same man who ran from God. First he ran from God, then he ran back to God. He's been transformed. Because when we run back to God, when we turn back to God, we can run to God and he will always receive us, but he won't leave us there when he meets us. He will always take us further on. He wants us to keep going. The call on Jonah and the call on every Christian today, you and I included, is to run for God. So, have you run to God but remained stationary? That's really the first question of this passage. So, you know, I've got to God. I've given my life to Jesus, but I'm saved still now. I'm good. Have you stayed stationary? You know, have you thought, you know, it all says do this, do that, study your Bible, go to church, pray, give, serve, go out of your comfort zone, talk about your faith, care for your neighbour, love your wife. No, I'm not doing any of that, I'm good. Have you stayed stationary as Christians? Have you run to God but failed to run for God? Because that is ultimately what Christ is asking us to do, what God calls all Christians to do, to run for God. And verse 3, at long last, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is in modern-day northern Iraq on the outskirts of Mosul. It's still called Nineveh today. It's located on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, where it meets the Kosher River. In Jonah's day, Nineveh was an important city. It was a place of abundance. It was the capital of Assyria, a royal city, the very picture of power and prosperity. It had a population of 120,000 people with luxuries like public squares, botanical gardens, and a zoo. And it was important to God. Modern-day Nineveh now accounts for half of the Mosul region, basically. In 2010, there were around 800,000 Assyrian Christians in Nineveh. However, with the rise of extreme Islam, Iraq is now number 16 on the Open Doors World Watch List for the most dangerous places to live as a Christian today. Christian persecution there has seen Christians either murdered or flee their country to become refugees. The Christian population of all of Iraq today stands at 225,000. Now, if you want to know more about the work of Open Doors or how Iraq is faring in that way, go to opendoors.org.au. Can't have time to finish that now. So as we know, Jonah didn't want to go, but it's easy for us to focus so much on the fact that Jonah is finally on the same page as God that we forget how bad things in Assyria actually were, how bad Nineveh actually was. And they were bad. So bad that the prophet Nahum spoke of it as the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder. Never without victims, the crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, and jolting chariots. Charging cavalries, flashing swords,
glittering spears.
Many casualties, piles of dead bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses, all because of the wanton lust of a prostitute alluring the mistress of sorceries who enslaved nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. You could mistake Nahum's description of Nineveh for the atrocities of present-day Congo. Forced labour, systematic rape and human trafficking, just to name a few. So who could blame Jonah for not wanting to go? But Jonah does go. Now please notice that God did not tell Jonah to go to Nineveh and be a good example. He tells him to preach, to proclaim his message. In the same way, all Christians, including every one of us here at St. Luke's, has been called to preach. Not to Nineveh, but to our country, to our friends, to our family, to our work colleagues, to our neighbours. Depending on the Bible translation you have, Mark 16, verse 15 reads, "Go into all the world and preach or proclaim the good news." God takes the Great Commission seriously, and so should we. Now, this immediately intimidates most people because we think it means yelling or addressing a large crowd or standing up the front here even. And it might. But, boiled down, proclaiming the message of God simply means verbally articulating the truth that you've been given. God's primary way of reaching a lost world is through the proclamation of the gospel. 2 Timothy 4, 2-3 reads, "Preach the word of God, be persistent, whether the time is favourable or not." This is so important. This is so important because many Christians avoid this call. They'll do anything but share their faith. And unfortunately, many churches today have moved away from preaching the truth. They've watered down the gospel to be more palatable to our society. But Acts 2:42, we see the early church, the church who changed the world. We see how they shared the gospel openly and without hesitation. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So Jonah does go and Jonah does preach. And what happens? Verse 5. The Assyrians all repent and turn to God. Every last one of them. From the greatest to the least. This is astounding. They actually repent and turn to God. Simply in the hope, verse 9, that God may turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Jonah's message in verse 4 is not a message of hope, but of destruction. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. This is the same language used in Genesis for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Ninevites had no reason to think that God would change his mind. We are at a huge advantage today because of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. The Ninevites do what they do because they are truly repentant. Not because there's any hope given. Their repentance was not done lightly. It involved everything, great and small, man and beast. It was an unconditional surrender to God. Nothing was withheld. And verse 10 says, when God saw what they did, he relented and did not bring disaster upon them. All because one ordinary and reasonably reluctant bloke shared God's message. But surely there's no one left to tell in Emerald, right?
I mean, we're in Australia.
Surely there's no one left. Wrong. Project 114 tells us that in Australia today, only 7% of people under the age of 30 have any Christian orientation. 7%. That means our own kids, our grandkids, are only 2% away from being a lost tribe or an unreached people group. That astounds me. I get goosebumps when I think about that in our own community. Paul writes in Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you know that Assyrian Christians have an annual Jonah Day? An annual Jonah Day. Like we have annual days for this and that, they have an annual Jonah Day. It's the day that they stop and thank God that he sent Jonah to tell them about God. Can you imagine what that might like, be like in heaven? You know, like they announce over the loudspeaker, if they have a loudspeaker, they announce, it's annual Jonah Day. Come and celebrate. And everyone walks up to him and says, dude, you didn't even want to go. How do you get a day? What do we take from all this? What do we learn from all this? God has always been the God of second chances. And he's always been the God of forgiveness. It has never, never been his will that anyone should perish. But they should all turn to him and be saved. But like Jonah, we have to respond to the go of the gospel. For some reason, God has decided to use average people like Jonah, like you, like me, to take his message out to the world. You've heard me say this, it must be 100 times since I've been here. As Christians, we are a sent people, whether we like it or not. Jonah was the most reluctant missionary in the history of world missions. He didn't want to go. Yet through him, in just 3 days, God's message transformed the hearts of 120,000 people. He changed their eternal address, if you like, because they were saved. There are 4 chapters to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we saw Jonah run from God, and we were challenged to ask, are we running from God? Chapter 2, Jonah ran to God, and it challenged us to ask ourselves, have we turned from our sin and repented and run to the only God who can save us? In Jonah chapter 3, Jonah runs for God, challenging us to ask ourselves, are we running for God? Or have we just run to God and stopped still? Then comes chapter 4. And God has to have another little word with Jonah because he's still a bit of a git. Then we find that Jonah runs slam into God. But we'll cover that next week. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of grace, God of love, God of truth, thank you for the story of Jonah, for the example that he has given us, for the challenge that he lays before us. We're sorry that we've run from you and that in many ways we still run from you. Lord, help us to stop running, to turn back to you and to accept your mission to run for you where we are. Lord, help us, we pray, to have open hearts to your mission for us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.